Y'all ready to start?
Yeah.
George is ready.
That's all that matters. George is ready. We're all ready. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Good. It's good. It's good to see everybody. Glad the weather's kind of chilled out for a minute. Instead of rain and 70 mile an hour winds and everything else that was blowing in last night. So we're going to do, I've just got a little devotional thought. So give me 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll have a good rest of the night, all right? Let's go ahead and start in prayer, and then we'll get started, okay?
Father God, we are so thankful. We're so grateful for you and for who you are. Father, we just ask for guidance. I ask for guidance this evening as I dive into your word. Father, I pray that we will take what you have laid before us and that we will see what you want us to see and hear what we need to hear, Father. God, we're just such a blessed people, and I'm just so thankful for this church, for this body of believers that we can be here in this beautiful, beautiful facility, and we're just so blessed. We have so much abundance. We're thankful for it. God, for those that haven't or aren't able to make it tonight, we just pray that you watch over them and those that are here, that you will guide them back to their home safely. Father, again, we just ask for wisdom tonight as we look into your word. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
All right, that's a big crowd that just appeared at the back. Just kidding. I looked up, there's nobody. Look back up, there's 12. All right, if you have a Bible, Miller's going to put it up on the screen, but go ahead and turn to chapter 3 of Revelation. Okay? Chapter 3 of Revelation. All right, so 10 points for anybody who can guess what this is. Brenda nailed it back there. It's a hand plane, right? And China kind of laughed at me when I brought this from the house. But I went to an auction yesterday and somehow slipped up and bought 3 of these. I don't know how that happened. But they put them all together. And so I've been wanting one of these. I don't do a lot of hand woodworking, but I now have the tool to do it. So I guess I should learn. Brad's saying no, it's a terrible idea. But this is, I'm trying to date this exact plane back. There's an algorithm that you can run in the computer and see what it is. But if you don't know what this is, it's a tool that flattens wood, okay? So you can face, what they call face joining. So you'd run this across and it slowly eats away at the wood. Or you can edge join, so you can do it on the edge. You can take 2 boards and join them together, right? This tool has a long history of purpose as a very effective tool, as a very efficient tool. And so I'm super excited to have this in my collection now. Now I have 3 of them, so I don't know what I'm going to do with all 3 because they do the same thing. That's going to fall. Other thing was this. Brenda, no. Brenda, do you do all the woodworking around the house? She keeps raising her hand. Right, this is just sandpaper. This goes on my electric sander, and it has a purpose, right? It has the purpose to smooth things. It can take away some material, but its main purpose is to knock off some rough edges, to smooth out a surface, to take the grain down, and that sort of thing. And so you may be wondering, why has Cody brought dusty tools to church, right? Well, let's look together at chapter 3 of Revelation. As I've mentioned to several of you before, I took a class on Revelation this semester at school, and I have, my eyes have been opened to a couple things, and by far, this is the biggest phenomenon would be the word, eye-opener, that something that I've misunderstood my entire life, and I wanted to point it out to you tonight. So let's read together. Chapter 3, verse 14, John is writing to the church of Laodicea. And it says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable. I can't even say that word tonight. Pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Right. Raise your hand if you've heard this verse. If you've ran across this verse. Okay. I'd hope many, many. So if you haven't read this verse, it might be an eye-opener. So the way that I was always taught about this verse is that the godly people, the people that are on fire for Christ or for God, and they're very active in their faith, are represented by the hot, right? And then the people that are on the opposite end of the spectrum, that they could be no further away from God in their faith, are represented by the cold. So we're shown these two polar opposites, right? And in the warm, or in the middle, we see the lukewarm. And God says, if you are lukewarm, I'll spit you out of your mouth. And I had always understood this as God is either wanting us to be all in, or He's wanting us to be all out. But how does that line up in the face of the New Testament? How does that line up when you show that verse and that interpretation parallel to the rest of the New Testament? Does it line up? No, it doesn't line up at all, right? Because nowhere in the New Testament is Jesus or God or any of His apostles calling for us to be completely cold, to be completely away from Christ. So let me show a little bit of historical background, and maybe this verse will make a little bit more sense, okay? Laodicea was surrounded on the north side and the south side by two cities. On the north side, you had the city of Hierapolis, okay? And at Hierapolis, they had what was called, or what we know as hot springs. And these hot springs were used as a medication, like you could go and be healed with these hot springs, they believed. And so they were used for medicinal purposes. And to the south, you had the city of Colossae. And the city of Colossae had cold springs. They had water coming straight out of the mountainside, pure water that was drinkable, and you could cook with it, and you could eat with it, and that sort of thing. It was pure, it was clean, it was useful, right? But the city of Laodicea got their water in a very different way. They got their water through 6 miles of aqueducts, okay? And an aqueduct is a channel. I always think of when I'm in big metropolitan areas and they kind of have waterways, that's the image I always get. But it's a way for water to travel to the city, okay? And so you would imagine if you've got water traveling 6 miles from another town, by the time it gets to the town, it's going to be what? It's going to be lukewarm, right? Even if it comes from the hot side or it comes from the cold side, by the time it gets in the middle, it's going to be lukewarm. Now, let me ask you this. What happens when we cook or we drink lukewarm water that hasn't been boiled or isn't pure coming from a mountainside? What happens many times with that water? We become sick, right? It carries bacteria. It carries diseases. And that's what John is playing off the idea with the city of Hierapolis. He says, the city of Laodicea. He says in verse 17, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. He goes on in verse 18 and says, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. You see, Laodicea was a booming business town. They had great business coming through the town, and so people thought they were doing well for themselves. They thought because they had money and they had material things like gold and silver and pure linens, is that they were rich, that they were useful, that they were prosperous, right? And God says, through John, says, no, you've got it all wrong. Because you are in the middle, you are useless. You are useless. You are sick. And thus, I have no need for you right now. I will spit you out of your mouth. And so I would challenge us to think that this pericope of Scripture is not talking at all about being one opposite or another. Right? When kids come to me and they're like, I don't understand how I can be useful to God, because I can't ever be all in. I can't ever be 100% for God. And as adults, can we not agree with that? Can we not understand where they're coming from? Because even as adults, we struggle with that. Because we're so busy and we get so caught up with things. And we're like, if I can't be 100%, then I'm just going to be nothing. Right? That's not what God is calling us to be here. Because neither cold nor hot was the problem, but being useless, being filled with disease and things that would make us sick. Spiritually, what in your life is making you sick? Are we useful for God's kingdom? Because that's what He's really calling for us to be, is to be useful. Just like these tools, they're polar opposites, right? One is used to take material away while the other is used to smooth. And I can't do what I do in my shop if I don't have both of these tools, right? If I just have one, if I just have the hand plane, then my material is never going to be super smooth. If I have just sandpaper, then I'm just going to have the size of stock of lumber that I buy from the store. I'm never going to be able to take it down. But the thing God is calling us to be is useful. If it's being hot or being cold spiritually, both are useful for His kingdom. And it's not a sense of being all in or all out, but just being useful. That's something that I think I have harped on with the teenage class here lately, is because I took a scripture for 15 years of my life and misinterpreted it and misapplied it, right? I thought that I had to be the greatest thing there was to God, or to just not believe in Him at all. And because of that, I got discouraged when things happened. I got upset when I couldn't meet that standard. Here lately, I've been reading a lot. We came back from San Antonio to see my brother. Many of y'all know Jake is now in the Air Force, and he's working through what's known as the pipeline to be a special operator in the Air Force, right? And so he's going through all of this training, and man, is it grueling, because he has to do underwater stuff. He has to do halo jumps. He has to do you name it, anything in our military spectrum, he has to be able to understand how to do. And so for me, for 2.5 years, I would be so overwhelmed with all this training, right? If you set a task in front of me and say, it's probably going to take 2, 3, 4 years to accomplish, it's going to be overwhelming. Just like this master's program at Heritage, when the elders here asked me, hey, would you want to do this? And I was like, that's 3.5 years of my life. I don't know if this is going to be fun or not, right? And if I looked at it like that, it's hard to accomplish. So I've been reading all these books about guys who have went through what Jake's going through, and one guy's quote stuck out to me more than any other. And I passed it on to him in a letter that I got to write him a couple months ago, and I said this. I said, whatever you do today, may it prepare yourself to be able to answer the call when you are needed. Whatever we're doing today, is it making us more useful for those that need us when they need us? Because his job, if he passes all these tests, if he passes all their requirements in the Air Force, will be essentially a medic. But a medic that goes into the field of battle in a hot zone where somebody has been either killed or severely injured. He has to fight his way in and fight his way back out. His job is not easy, right? And these guys train and they train and they train. And so I continue to tell him, every single day, are you making yourself more prepared to be useful when you were called upon. Right? And I think that applies so much to this, is because everybody in this room is useful in a different way. Right? Every single person in this room, no matter your age, has a purpose in God's kingdom. But the question is are we bettering ourselves each and every day to be able to answer that call when we are needed? And I don't know what that looks like for everybody. I know for me, spending time reading and growing as an individual on how to counsel teenagers and talk to teenagers through some dark times in their life, right? That's something that I try each and every day to get better at, because I know I'm going to be called on that effort at some point in the future, or I believe I am, right? But what that's the question I want you to think about tonight, is how can you get 1% better each and every day? It doesn't have to be this grand scheme of, I have this goal I want to achieve, and if I don't get there tomorrow, then I'm discouraged, right? We have to take baby steps, and that baby step can be broken down marginally as 1%. If you can get 1% better each and every day, what will you look like in a year? What will you look like in 5 years? What will you look like in 10 years? But taking those steps and being useful for God's kingdom, having our place in God's kingdom, so that we can be that tool that is used by the greatest craftsman in the world, the greatest craftsman that's ever lived, the one that crafted all of us, right? He wants to use us. The question is, are we preparing ourselves to be that useful tool? So I hope that is some food for thought for this week, something that you can think about and pray about. But that's my challenge. Is we're working, Ben and the elders and I are working diligently about communicating better on what our ministries here are. We've got a ton of new families here, and we're so excited about that. But how can you get involved? Be looking at that. Be advancing on that opportunity each and every day. So at this time, Jesse's going to come and lead us in a song. If there's anything that we can do or pray for you about, please come as we stand and sing.